WRVF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio and ListenTheRef.com presents Stan Gerard on Basketball, a weekly inside look at the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program. Tonight's show is brought to you by Taroni's, Allstate Office City, Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agent, and by Fulton Interior Systems. Stan Gerard on Basketball is also brought to you by First Federal Savings Bank, Hoosier Home Improvement, and by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Now live with the Stan Gerard on Basketball show, here is your host, Brad Klein.
It's the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's. You can find them on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein. Stan Gerard, the USI men's basketball head coach, is here to talk about Southern Indiana hoops. Coach, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
All right. So in talking about the Screaming Eagles, there's a lot to get to with a couple of games from this past weekend to recap, and certainly some guys to single out as we preview Lindenwood and Western Illinois for the Thursday-Saturday swing as the OVC slate continues. Now, there's so much to get to because it has been a while. The snowstorm kind of wiped out our show last week. Then again, the snowstorm wiped out a whole lot in this area, in this region of the country last week as well. So we go backwards and we recap the Christmas and New Year's break and how the team fared with the weather, or what did that all look like for you guys?
Oh, man. As far as the weather, I mean, it's just another day for me. I'm a Midwest guy, and I'm used to it, but it was funny to see the our guys who's not used to the weather, especially the guys from Georgia, Damani and
Scheider,
excuse me, and as well as our Texas guy, Jerry Washington. So it was a bit of a challenge for these guys. Now, Washington is still riding his scooter in the snow from his apartment, which is not very smart. But those guys had a good time over the weekend, had a snowball fight at Burger King the other day as we got off. We were snowed in, of course, down at SEMO, and we got off only a couple options to eat. And both teams, I think, at Burger King for lunch, we both tried the Whopper.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That was gross. But it's a good time. We just made do, man. But, you know, just been a long, few weeks, especially in the basketball world for us. You know, we are stuck on the number six, and we got to get off that number sooner rather than later because I don't like where we are right now.
And we're certainly talking about, you know, the last weekend and SEMO and Little Rock, the two losses. But you mentioned the idea of you don't like where you guys are right now. What do you mean by that? Certainly mean wins and losses. But yeah, what do you think it is about this team that they're lacking right now?
Well, I think we lack in confidence right now. I told him last night after the game, there's a victim mentality right now because things are not going our way. We can't feel that way. We got to keep our nose to the ground and continue to fight for what we want. And, you know, and that's not going to be easy, you know. I don't think teams, like I told them, teams are not going to feel sorry for us because we're in a slump, you know. We tried to, you know, just discuss where we were back in early December, you know, early, mid, late December, whatever it was, when we were the fourth best shooting team in the country, as well as I think we were at 82 points a game, excuse me, and somewhere that got lost somewhere along the lines. Now, I know our leading scorer is not playing, but I feel like we have enough guys in this roster to be able to step in and fill that void right away, and it hasn't happened yet, you know. And with that being said, you know, other guys who normally, you know, step up, they struggle. And I don't think we've been the same team since Campy went out, you know, with the ankle injury. We missed a couple games. We lose by three at Carbondale, and we finally get him back, and we just never recovered to who we were for some reason. And, you know, I thought Campion had us playing at a different pace at that point in time. And then we bring in Tennessee Martin, and they just really put the knife in our back in terms of how they played, how they shot the basketball. And it was nothing, you know, too much of what they did is what we allowed them to do. You know, they were comfortable all night. They got hot early and never looked back, and we still, to this day, haven't recovered from a shooting standpoint. You know, I think in a couple games, we guarded well enough to win, you know, especially from a point standpoint. But the mental mistakes down the stretch is like a broken record of some of the things that, you know, we struggled with. We went back and watched film today in practice, and it kind of reminded me of our same film session from a couple nights ago after we lost at SEMO, seeing the same things over and over. And my biggest problem, like I told our guys, the things that we are struggling with defensively is day one stuff that we've done since June. So we got to get out of our own heads and get back to who we were back in November, early December, because I thought we were a good ball club back then.
You know, I feel like in saying got to get out of our own heads, that goes into confidence, right? And
right,
this team was so confident when you were running and you were scoring 82 points per game and you were the fourth best three-point shooting team in the nation. But I feel like confidence is so much easier to lose than it is to gain.
Absolutely.
And it's certainly very difficult to get it back once you lose it. So I'm asking you as a former player and certainly as a coach right now, what are the steps to get that confidence back?
Well, from a shooting standpoint, you got to see a couple go in. And I think the biggest thing for me, I always try to put myself in our guys' shoes when I struggle with my confidence from a shooting standpoint. And for me, and I told our guys this, one, you got to play hard. You know, you have to play hard to be able to get that confidence back. Because if you play hard, you can control some things that you normally can't control. I think the other thing is you got to have it from your teammates as well as your coaches. And oftentimes our guys, and they're young. I always say they're young men. They get so defensive when you try to correct. And you saw that at SEMO, I mean at Tennessee Tech with Jared Washington, we tried to correct. Defense came out, you know. We hold them back from their game. Last night at Little Rock, it was Braxton Jones who missed a couple shots, and we pulled him after a defense. Not a missed shot. We took him out because of a defensive assignment. He thought we pulled him out because he missed a couple shots. And you can't control when you're making missed shots. But once again, they're playing the victim mentality and not seeing the big picture. And like I told them, it's not about you, it's about us. It's about us finding that right group of guys that's in the game. But going back to your question, when your shot's not falling, you got to get downhill, get a layup. When your shot's not falling, you got to get fouled and get to the free throw line. And oftentimes we try to shoot our way back into a rhythm. And it's also the quality of shots that you're taking. You know, when you are not shooting as well as you want to shoot, especially if you are a guy that can step out and shoot the three, my advice is to not take a bad shot, you know, get a good open look, you know. In our game last night, you saw, we got some open looks. We knocked them down, and then we went back to our old ways and took some tough shots, and we struggled. So I think those three things, you know, could help you out, but also get in the gym. But in Jack Mielke's case, we got to do some reverse psychology. We got to kick him out of the gym. You know, he's struggling, and he's a graduate student doing all online courses. He has no in-person classes. He's in the gym all day, and I've talked to him about not coming as much, and he's still here. So we may have to lock the balls up until we have practice to keep him out of the gym. But I appreciate his consistency in terms of trying to get better. But sometimes you can also do too much and psych yourself out.
You know, you mentioned the Little Rock game a couple times. Let's dive into it and recapping what happened last night in a loss against the Trojans, and it's an interesting game, an interesting flow to the game, because you guys were down 7-0 to start this game, and you clawed your way back, tied the game at halftime, 28-all.
28-all, yeah.
And you had, I believe, two leads at two different times in the second half, end up losing by 20, and Little Rock scores 50 points in the second half.
Yeah.
What was the difference there in the first half and the second half, and ultimately, what blew the game up?
Well, we got back in that game after go down 7-0 because the junk defense, the run and jump,
yeah,
I talked about, the different types of defense, mixing up 2-3s to 1-3-1s. You saw the junk defense in the first half, and they put two guys on the inbounder. Never saw that before, you know, but we got the ball and got a layup, you know. So they were fishing just like we were and trying to find some things that made their guys go. Getting down 7-0 is just one of those things where I don't like our starts, but we responded and tied the game up at 28. I think my issue, as I told our guys last night, do what got you there. You know, we got back in that game because we broke the press and we got good shots. The minute we garnered a four-point lead, we start taking bad shots again, you know, versus what we did. But we also made a lot of defensive mistakes. They exploited us on the ball screens because our guards were not tagging the roller. So we went back and watched today before practice, and there was at least seven or eight occasions where our guards off the basketball were hugging their guy with the ball instead of tagging the ball screen guy who rolled for layups. And those kind of things just hurt you. You know, their big kid, what's his name?
Bill Young.
He had, what did he do last
24?
Night? 24 points last night, you know. And he's a guy, I forgot what his numbers were. He wasn't a 24-point scorer, but it was all uncontested layups because our guys missed the tag on the roll. He got some transition layups, got some putbacks. There was a couple situations after the tags where, you know, shot goes up and he gets it on board or a 50-50 play. So we lost in every single category. The 50-50s didn't do a great job with old boards. We wasn't aggressive enough, you know, throughout the game in terms of getting to the free throw line. So all those kind of things, you know, kind of hurt you, especially on the road. You got to make sure on the road you're sharp defensively, and we were not.
You know, and looking at this game, you mentioned Bellion, and yeah, he scored 24 points. He was really effective offensively and is 9 of 17 from the field. But he played well in the first half, too.
He did.
I'm curious about the difference in points in the paint between the first half and the second half. You guys outscored them in the first half in the interior by 8, end up getting outscored by 12. That's a 20-point swing.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, we quit going inside. We quit attacking the basket. You know, we started settling for threes. There was a number of occasions in the second half where Steven was open on the roll off the ball screen, and we settled for a jump shot. You know, we stopped attacking these guys in transition off the bounce in the paint. You know, we had them playing in rotations when they were trapping because our goal in the traps was to dribble the ball up the court and get a quick reverse and attack bad closeouts. The first half we did that. The second half we did not.
Again, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WRF, breaking down last weekend two losses, SEMO and Little Rock, but there's so much more to get to, so we're going to continue breaking down the past weekend on the other side here on WRF, 97.7 FM, The Ref, always the right call.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
At Turoni,
ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Turoni,
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down at the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Turoni's.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm Agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
At Penn Station East Coast Subs, it's all about the good taste, and they are introducing inflation-beating prices this month on all subs and drinks. During this month of January, Penn Station East Coast Subs is offering daily full meal specials featuring the chicken teriyaki sub with fresh-cut fries and a drink for just $12.99. Tea lovers, listen up. Now enjoy the fresh-brewed sweet or unsweet tea for just 99 cents. Penn Station is fighting back high inflation prices. Get to Penn Station East Coast Subs today with locations in Evansville, Newburgh, Henderson, and Owensburg.
Back here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, presented by Turoni's. I'm Brad Klein. So happy you could join us here on WREF 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. Stan Giron, USI men's basketball head coach here on the Ref, talking about Southern Indiana's loss to SEMO and Little Rock this past weekend. You know, something else I wanted to ask you about the Little Rock game is personnel. Now, you guys had a lot of different guys in there that some we haven't seen too much. Ryan Hall, for example, Sam Mervis, and Mervis playing 13 minutes in this game, probably not something that everyone had on their bingo card, and that comes from Campion only playing in eight. What was the thought process there in keeping Campion out for most of the game?
Campion made several mistakes defensively. He was getting beat, you know, too easily off the bounce. And when they trapped, you know, in the first half when he got in foul trouble, I think it was he and Milky.
Cody,
both point guards had too, so I had to give Mervis a run. And I thought, you know, when we went back and did the analytics at halftime, Mervis had a pretty good plus-minus. He got us into offense, and he found guys in rhythm. The ball moved better. We come out second half, you know, and again, Campion made some mistakes defensively. And I just didn't think he was doing a good job of getting us into the offense and moving the basketball. I think one play sticks out in my mind was second half. On the other side of the court, there was a situation where the easy play was right in his face, and he tried to thread the needle, and they stole the ball and went down the score. He was trying to throw the ball to two people, and then he went down a couple plays later and made some defensive mistakes. And I just wanted to get some guys in who, one, was taking care of the ball because of how they – we're speeding this up, but also get us into some offense. I thought Mervis is doing the best job of that as well as Cody.
It's interesting because it is the first time, I believe, this season that you've deferred in looking at a point guard behind Campion and Cody. You've deferred to Mervis instead of Braxton Jones. So why not go to Jones there?
Jones is off the ball a lot. He struggled in the trap as well. He was so small. He got trapped in the second half as well and turned it over right at half court. It was a live ball turnover. It was a turnover, and they go down and score. And I needed him off the ball. He started he knocked down a couple of big shots for us. And it was just making the extra pass to him. But him coming off the screens, they trapped him. They smothered him with bigger guys. And he just couldn't get through those guys or around them to make the right play.
And breaking down this game, and, you know, of course, it was a very close game for probably 30 minutes, right? And then at the end, it blew up and it ends up being a 20-point loss, and that's what people look at. But when you actually watch the game, it was nowhere near what the box score, the final score, shows you. And there were some positives from this game. Alex Haruk played a really, really strong game, and maybe even, we could say, the best weekend of his USI career, because he played well against SEMO as well. So what did you see from Alex not only last night, but on Thursday as well?
I think he's just excited to play. He's getting better using his body to get his hands on some loose balls. I thought he rebounded very well in both games for us. But he's also, if you look at his numbers, he's 3 of 3 at SEMO and 2 of 2. So he had a 100% weekend. Didn't miss a shot. You know, 6 rebounds at SEMO in 8 minutes, and then, if my memory serves me well, I got the stats right here. 5 rebounds in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's a space heater. If he just continues to keep it simple with his moves inside, you know, we'd like to post him up on the if you're facing the basket. I'm sorry, if your back is to the basket, the right block so he can get into his hook over his left shoulder. We told him the other day, just keep it simple. He's tall enough to shoot over people, but he's also strong enough to get a little deeper in the post. But he also rebounds. You know, he got his hands, like I said, got his hands on basketballs. He boxed guys out. And some of those he didn't get, he also made plays because he was not allowing this guy to get rebounds.
Sure. Yeah, and also you look at, and it's not necessarily an indictment on Steven. Everyone played, you know, everyone wanted certain plays back against Little Rock. But I think that yesterday may have been the first time ever, and maybe you want to loop in the whole weekend, that this season, that you guys at moments were better off with Alex on the floor instead of Steven way of the matchup.
Yeah, we were. And I felt the exact same way, Brad. Alex did a wonderful job covering ball screens, too. And Steven plays his drop coverage that we don't teach, and Alex at least is up there trying to move his feet. But Alex made secondary plays. When the shot went up, he didn't just stand around. And Steven, you know, has a tendency, especially yesterday, of trying to leak out for easy baskets. But, yeah, Alex was a little better for us yesterday. We've got to keep trying to develop him to get him more minutes. But Yeah, that was the first time ever we deferred to Alex, probably a little bit more than Steven. And, you know, I think Steven's going to come back around at some point. Just had one of those days where, you know, he shot the ball. Percentage-wise, he's 3 of 5, but didn't rebound the ball particularly too well. And didn't shoot any free throws. You know, we struggled, you know, to get to the free throw line yesterday. And that's unacceptable. You know, we went, 30 minutes without a free throw before we shot one? I know we shot a lot of jump shots. We got to be able to get something going downhill to get fouled.
Was it simply a matchup that Harouk had over with Belyan more advantageous than Steven, or was there something that Steven specifically has to do better?
I think Steven just got to be more engaged in the game when he's not touching the basketball because he's a sophomore. I keep saying he's young. Alex is a little older than Steven, but you know, Steven oftentimes, if his shot's not falling, kind of drift a little bit. You know, we got to do a better job of keeping him happy because when he is happy and engaged, he makes us play, you know, makes us go rather. And, you know, he didn't touch the ball too much last night because he got double teamed in the post when he caught it, but they also trapped our guards off of ball screens, which made it hard for us to get the ball to him because we couldn't see over. I thought Cody did a good job with his size, and that was another thing going back to the guard play. You know, Cody's a bigger guard. It was hard and stronger. It was hard for those guys to really trap him because he was able to use his strength and size to see over the defense.
Yeah. And we saw a lot of that in the first half.
Yeah.
With Cody kind of drifted off in the second, didn't score in the second half. What do you attribute that to?
Lost his aggression. You know, I'm a firm believer you got to do what got you there. And he was in more attack mode downhill the first half. You know, he broke off a couple and got layups in the second half. He just went back to relaxation mode. You know, we got to get guys to play a full game. You know, we can't play 20, 30 minutes and expect to win. We got to play a full basketball game.
You know, I feel like routinely for someone like me, this becomes a pretty cliche question. But with this stage in the season and with what happened last night, I think it's a valid one. What was your actual message to the guys in the locker room after the game?
You notice I didn't come back out after the game to have a conversation.
That's neither here nor there.
I apologize for that. But I was,
no, we just we, I don't we care. Had, that's fine. We I'm just curious about the locker room.
We had a heart-to-heart, you know. And, you know, it was about 30, 45 minutes after the game of conversation. And I wanted our guys to talk and speak up about how they feel, whether it's against the coaches or about what we're doing as a team. And I shared some stories with those guys about, you know, you can't always worry about hurting a teammate's feelings when he's not doing his part, you know. I sent them a video message the other day about a guy. It was a poem about doing your job. And it was spot on with our guys. I sent it to them. And I referenced that about doing your job. And, you know, and I told him last night, you have a job to do on defense, whether you're playing defense or not, whether you're on the ball or not, rather. If you're off the ball, you got to be in gaps. If there's a ball screen, you got to attack. There's no resting period on the basketball. Only time when you rest is when you're out of game. And we talked about that. And there was, I think I said, 8 to 10 maybe missed tags on the ball screens. Offensive rebounds at key moments in the game where we don't box out. And we have guys standing around. We talked about that. But more importantly, we talked about just being prideful, you know, of being a Screaming Eagle, you know, because I don't see that, you know. And I wanted to, you know, share with our guys, you know, how our team was, our national championship team was, when we were the exact same way. We had all the talent in the world, but we lost a couple. And it wasn't until Brian Hebner called a meeting, a players-only meeting, and he called people out, and guys started talking. You know, when I gave my guys a chance to have a microphone last night and talk, it was certain people are not doing this. You know, people are not. No, we need to know the who, because accountability is going to really help us turn the corner. And I told them there's no accountability because you guys are worried about hurting feelings. And my question to those guys were, do you care about winning or do you worry about hurting someone's feelings? You know, so, and I told them the reason our team was good back when I played, and all good teams, not just my team, I played on, but the teams I've coached over the years. The reason we were good, but because there was accountability amongst their peers, you know, the guys you hang out with, you go to, because I think this team, they like each other. They get along very well, but at the same time, I told them, you let each other down if you keep letting people do the exact same thing. You know, something as simple as yesterday, leaving for the game. The bus leaves at 1:15, but guys walking down to the bus at 1:14. You know, we had dinner the other night at the hotel. A couple guys late to dinner. You know, and I always, if you're on time, you're late. And when I played in teams I've coached, after a while, the teammates start getting on guys for not doing things the right way. And this group right now, early on, it was, they were good at it, but here as of late, they just, it don't move them. It doesn't move them. So I have to always be the bad guy, which I have no problem with, but I want these guys to kind of police some of these things themselves, because I think that carries over in the basketball court. So it was just one of those, a heart-to-heart conversation. And I hope they felt, because that was very sincere last night. I was upset. I was disappointed, because I told them we don't deserve to be where we are, but we do in a sense because we're not doing things the right way. You know, so until we hold each other accountable, until we care a little bit more, until we have more passion about what we're doing, we're going to struggle. And we probably got to find some other guys that are passionate about it on this basketball team that we can put in and play the game for us.
You know, devil's advocate, and we're up against the break, so I'll get you one more question, then we'll hit a break here. Devil's advocate, I'm not saying this is the case for your guys specifically, and I'm going to pull an old version of this team, play a card card from their deck, and not name names, because I don't think there are names to name.
Yeah.
But devil's advocate would say that there is no accountability anymore in this generation or in this
sport.
That is
true. Yeah. And you know what? I hope we got time. My wife raised a good point this morning. I was coming to work, and I'm struggling right now with this team because I think we have talent, Brad.
I mean, you know you
agree.
Have talent.
But I'm trying to – I went back. I'm watching games from November to see, like, where did it go? She raised a good point. My wife is in human resources. She's like – and she hires contractors, all temporary workers all the time. And she said, you know, back in your career early on, you were building your rosters off of – relationships, you know, and she says right now you have contractors that are here for 6 to 8 months, and the only thing they worry about is the next contract. You know, you got to find a way to get them to work while they're in this contract,
yeah,
you know, to earn the next, because let's just face it, we know these guys are probably already getting phone calls from other schools about that's the world we're living right now. And it's unfair to everybody who's in this realm, but it's where we are. But we have to make sure that these guys, while they're in the current contract here, that they give us their absolute best and not 20, 30, 40, 50%. We need more.
You know, it's a good place to end. And I, like I said, we have a break to come up on. But now I'm just kind of curious. You know, it's funny. I talked to my parents about different things, and one of them is social media. My mother always said that she is so happy that she was not raised in a social media era.
As,
she would not
as
have
am
gone.
I.
Okay.
As am I.
A similar question, but with a basketball focus. How would you have done with the pressure and access of the portal? You know, you mentioned how, oh, these kids, they might be getting some text messages, phone calls, DMs, likes, whatever it is, and those are illegal. We don't know who it's from. We're just assuming that it's the case. We don't even know if it's happening. But that's a lot of pressure, knowing that, okay, got to play well against Little Rock or else my DMs won't be full in the ahead of the transfer portal. How do you think you would have done
I know for me personally, Brad, I like winning. I like winning, and I'm a huge guy in terms of just having a relationship with my coach. You know, that means the world to me. And I'm not saying I would have never tested the waters, but it would have been hard for me to leave because of who I played for and the relationship we had. Plus, 82-12, you can't
– You're what?
You can't overlook that. You know, we were winning. You know, we go to the national championship in year one. Year two, we win the national championship. Year three, we bring back the whole team and lost. We probably should have won again. So I like, and my parents financially, we were okay. You know, I can't say the same for every guy. And I told our guys that today, everybody comes from different backgrounds, you know. And my question was, what's your why? Why are you doing this? I know what I was doing when I played because I love playing basketball and I like winning. But these other guys, what's your why? There's so many good stories out there of guys in the NBA or in the acting world, Hollywood scene, that were homeless. I shared the story of Steve Harvey, the host of Family Feud, who was homeless, slept in his car, got a call to go do the improv in New York, and did that, and that was his claim to fame. And so everybody has a why, but your end goal has got to be in conjunction with the team.
Sure.
You know, you can't put your personal goals ahead of the team goals. If you have great team goals, your personal goals are going to come. And, you know, like I said, for me, Brad, I'm not going to say I'm able to test the waters because I probably would have just to get entertained. But, like, Coach Pearl and Coach Hurtis, Coach Baker, they were good at making us feel the way we felt. And I don't think another coach in the world could have took that from those guys because of the relationship we had, you know. Now, in the portal world, who knows how that relationship would have been, you know. But Pearl was well, I'm like him in terms of just trying to make sure that we do have a relationship, you know. And I don't know how it went, but I just know that it would have been hard to pry me from here because our team was winning. And then my team, I had some cool teammates, man.
They're friends, they're family at that point. And again, it's not 100% relevant. Yeah. I just thought, interesting little thing to do. Anyway, we're going to have to take a step aside. And again, this is the Stan Gerard Radio Show brought to you by Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
Back here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, presented by Taroni's, talking about Southern Indiana men's hoops with the head coach himself, Stan Gerard, and I'm Brad Klein. You know, we're talking about the last two games, Little Rock and SEMO from this past weekend, and kind of an overview, broad strokes on those games. But there are a couple of guys to single out with some interesting splits from the last couple of matchups. Braxton Jones, Jared Washington, Sam Cody. So what have you seen from those three that really sticks out?
It just differs. It's different for each guy. I will say that, you know, we got to get guys in tune to stay within their role of the team, you know. So many guys, when the starter's out, as Jared Randall is, so many guys try to come in and fill those shoes with some things we don't really need. We want you to fill the void, but not force, you know. And I feel like, you know, Braxton and Red have taken upon themselves to try to, you know, fill the void that Randall has presented to us. And that's okay, but it's got to be in rhythm, you know, looking at our last two games, you know, it kind of flip-flopped at Tennessee Tech. Braxton Jones got a majority, not Tennessee Tech, we're on our way back there. SEMO. SEMO.
Yes.
SEMO.
He had a bit of a
Braxton spark goes 3-11 at SEMO, and then we go to Little Rock, and Washington goes 2-11. You know, we need those guys to go 4-6. You know, something like that. So that way we're getting more quality shots. I think some of the shots they're taking are tough shots, but they're also taking away shots from guys that need more touches. But you know, I appreciate the efforts, but we got to dumb down. And just make sure we're getting quality shots. I don't mind. I don't care who scores, who shoots the basketball. It's just the quality of shots that they're taking needs to be better. Defensively, I thought they were pretty solid for the most part, and everybody has a role in struggling off the basketball. But we just got to get these guys to keep buying in, continue to work hard and trust the process a little bit more.
I'm curious about Braxton Jones. You mentioned his inefficiency against SEMO, and then he was 2-5 against Little Rock, and Jared Washington ends up going, what you say, 2-10? 2-11?
2-11.
Okay. So with Jones, inefficiency has been something that's kind of plagued him all season long. He's shooting 33% from the field right now, and we know, based off of what he did in junior college, how hot he can get. He's kind of a microwave guy. So you mentioned shot selection right now for Braxton, but when he's starting, how does that affect him in his decision-making? Because he started the last three games, and his stats are a little bit different than they were when he was coming off the bench. For example, Morehead State, the last game he played as a reserve, he was better than 50%, and then as a starter, he fell down to 17% against Tennessee Tech. So what was the adjustment there for him?
I don't know. I think it's mental, you know. Going from a guy who's been wanting to be in the starting lineup to a guy that's now starting, your mindset changes because now you feel like you have to be this scorer. You know, you got to let it come versus force an issue a little bit. And in his defense, you know, he was a big-time scorer at the JUCO ranks. But now you're going from being the best player in the team to now, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth option, that's tough to swallow. And like I told him, we all got to swallow our pride at some point. Right now, you are not, you're not shooting the ball the way you want to shoot. You're not getting as many shots as you want. And oftentimes, he'll try to force some because he want to get. Cause he's a rhythm shooter. He's a rhythm scorer. I will say that. You know, he forces a few. He's a tough shot taker. We need him to be, you know, one of those tough shot makers, especially late clock. You know, I don't want to go full game and shoot a game full of tough shots, but late clock, you got to take a few tough ones, but you can't take tough shots all the time. In his past two games over the weekend, 5-16 from the field, 3-7 from three, he averaged 3 rebounds and 9 points a game. And then you mentioned Red. He was 3-14 from the field in two games, 1-8 from three, 2 free throws per game, a total of 4.5 rebounds, and he averaged, 5 points a game in the last two games. So they're kind of like, they both are right there, you know. I think I want to see those guys score more with less shots, you know. I think, like I said, if they can just shoot those 7, 8, 9 shots with better shot selection, I think they'll be okay. But both of those guys are high-volume scorers, but they need more, probably more reps to make more shots. But I want those reps within the offense versus tough step-back shots.
On paper, what I'm about to say fits more for Jones than it does for Washington, but maybe when you go back to what you were talking about with Red at Tennessee Tech, it kind of fits. I'm a Syracuse alum, Syracuse fan.
Yeah.
They've got a player, Chris Bell. He's a shooter, and he's been a starter for them for a couple of years. Well, he just got benched, and their head coach, Adrian Autry, explained to the media that it's a mentality thing for him. Even though he's been a starter for years, now this kid can think about when he's going to get in and look forward to that rather than starting and worry about, hey, when am I going to be taken out and why?
Yeah.
And that mentality for him has really shifted. So you look at that for a guy like Sam Cody, when he gets an opportunity to run the show, and there's so much pressure on the point guard with the way you coach. And like you say, if it's someone's fault, it's the point guard's fault, essentially. It's always the point guard's fault. So how do you approach that mentality for a guy like Jones, who gets the start and kind of regresses statistically a little bit and struggles at times with his inefficiency as a starter, and then a guy like Washington, who when he gets on the floor, you feel his presence on the floor because he is a ball-dominant and volume scorer, and the same with Cody. How do you approach that with them one-on-one mano a mano.
Well, I try not to put it in their heads. You know what I mean? I try to let them process it themselves unless I see them struggle to practice. You know, I know for me, when I was talking, when we were talking about starting, the question came up, are you going to tell them he's starting? No, we're going to tell him in practice versus pull him up here. You're going to start. We need you to do this. You got to do that.
Production
out of it. Yeah, we didn't want to do that. We want these guys to, you get him promoted. We're going to do it right there with the team. So that way it feels more natural than to come up here and have a meeting about it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And as the game go along, even after our Tennessee Tech game in red situation, you know, we had a sit down. You know, Braxton and I, we got to have a sit down tomorrow because of his attitude, you know, in the game. But we had to be more direct in terms of what we needed to do. We thought we were very direct, but we got to be a little more direct and more harsh now. We try to do it in a different tone as far as, like, we need you to, you know, be Batman to Robin, whatever it is, Batman to Robin. You can't allow you starting. You're not coming in to – you're the help. You know, we have established our victory, and anything you guys can do is a bonus. You know, and not to take anything away from Braxton or Red, but we've had some success with those guys, and we just need both of you guys to play within your means. And if you get it going, trust me, you'll get some shots up because I'm going to call your number. You know, you think about, was it Simo and Braxton get a couple of shots where you ran a couple of plays for him to get a shot off, and we struggled. But, you know, I'm one of those guys where we are on the sideline constantly like, okay, in Braxton's case against Simo, he had a couple of shots. We're like, okay, we got to get Braxton the ball. He was getting a shot off, but he missed a couple. So I don't want guys to come in thinking because they're starting, they got to score 25 points. If you get your 25 or 20 within the offense, you know, not hurting the team, you know, play the right way, and then that way you'll make it easier on everybody else.
All right, this might sound like a strange question.
It's a strange question.
We're 16 games through the season, more than halfway. But, and I hear what you're saying about Jones and Red and Cody even, of, hey, we need you to play within your means. We need you to contribute when you can because we have our big three in Randall when healthy and in Damani and in Steven. 16 games in, you would think it'd be the norm, but then again, have guys like Jones, Washington, Cody come to grips with, hey, you're not in that triumvirate.
No,
you're not
and
in
we,
the big three.
No, they depends on the day. And it's one of those things for us.
And by the way, big three means you could be a starter and not be quote-unquote circle of trust there.
And we didn't tell these guys they can't score it. But, you know, these guys have established themselves 16 games in as the guys that we're going to depend on a whole lot, especially on the offensive end. But they also take a lot of pressure or a lot of heat for not doing things on the defensive end as well. And everybody does. But I think in anybody's case, if you're 16 games in, 10 games in, if you're not who you were a year ago, you can't shoot your way to that rhythm. It's got to happen naturally. And we got some guys right now. I think the best person who has analyzed this situation the best has been Josiah Dunham. He averaged 26 points, I think it was, in high school. And I remember sitting down with him a few weeks ago about more reps in practice on the scout team. He said, listen, I know I'm a scorer, but my role right now is to be a great defender, and anything I can do is a bonus for our team. That's maturity for a young fella. We don't have that right now with those guys. We got to get these guys to understand, like, right now it's just not my time, but I'm going to work towards my opportunity, and when the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to take advantage of it. And Braxton has the opportunity right now. I think the biggest thing is the open line of communication as far as what we need him to do when he steps into that role, and I think, you know, he's got to be willing to accept that. And we sat down when Randall, we talked about it at one point with Randall Woodout about your role is going to change a little bit. You know, we need you to help us out offensively, all right, but it's got to happen within the means or the flow of the offense.
Sure.
And it hasn't registered yet, you know, and it's going to register at some point because we don't know if Randall, we don't know the situation yet. It'll be a game time decision on Thursday. But we just need those guys to just play within the means. I always tell our guys this. If you're going to make a mistake, make it playing hard, you know, and the rest will take care of itself. Offensively, I don't care who scores the ball. I don't care who shoots the ball. Just don't be selfish and don't turn it over. That's simple. It's that simple. And I'm not saying guys are selfish. We're just forcing too many tough shots.
Again, it's the Stan Tironi Radio Show presented by Tironi's. We're usually there on Main Street today, not so much. But we will be there next week, we hope at least. But I got to look at the schedule. I think we would be.
We should be good.
We will be, yeah. Anyway, it is the Stan Tironi Radio Show here on WREF. We'll take a step aside, but don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Tironi. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Tironi. Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Tironi's.
Your single source for workplace supplies. All stops.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Back here on the Stan Tironi Radio Show talking USI men's basketball with the head coach himself, Stan Tironi. It's all presented by Tironi's. I'm Brad Klein. Happy to be with you. You know, we're talking about Southern Indiana basketball, but let's talk about some Auburn basketball here. Bruce Pearl, former head coach of USI and of Coach Tironi here, now the all-time winningest coach in Auburn basketball history. I know that must have been pretty cool for you to see.
Yeah, it was. I usually spend more time watching our team, but I watched that game the other night. It was cool to see and watch him, his team, and his team, they're fun to watch. And congrats to Coach Pearl on becoming all-time winningest coach at Auburn. He passed, what's the guy's name, Joel Eaves. That record was held from 1949 to 1964. Joe Eaves was there from 1949 to 1963 and passed him. I think Joe had 213 and Pearl passed for 214 in counting now because they still got it rolling.
It's pretty cool to see. And, you know, it's funny because he's the all-time winningest coach in Auburn history. We know that now. And, 200 and you said 15?
It was 214. 214. Passed, tied 213.
Okay, so 214 wins at Auburn. That's a lot of wins. Mm-hmm. But for a power program, it's kind of a low mark for an all-time winningest coach. Now, that's not a slide on Coach Pearl. What that means is he's brought success to a program that's not necessarily used to success in basketball. So it's pretty cool to see, I'm sure, for you. How much communication have you had with him since he broke the record?
I got a call from the Sports Information Director to be a part of the video. I text him after the game, and we have a group text for our teammates as well. And I text him after the game. I know he's got 1,000 people to get back to. And I just like, listen, congrats. Don't text me back. I'm not worried about a text. I just wanted you to know I'm happy for you. And that was that. But he commented on our team. Can I put it out there to our team group thread as well? And he commented and said, thanks, fellas. Love you all. On to the next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what his thing. That's what his mindset was. So I see they're number one in the country now.
They're number one in the country, yeah. But they lost Johnny Broom, one of their best players, averaging a double-double. He's out with, I think, an ankle injury.
That was tough to watch.
Yeah.
That was tough to watch.
So I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to be it's always a steep hill to climb when you're the number one overall team and you have a target on your back. But to do that without Broom, as Pearl says, on to the next. And, that's going to have to be the focus without him. Yeah. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but I think they have an opportunity to win the national championship.
I think
a good one.
Yeah, and he thinks as well. He told me that about 3 or 4 weeks ago that this is the team. And he told us all from that group thread. come to the Final Four because he thinks he'll be there.
I like it.
Don't jinx him.
No.
But I think a couple guys will try to get there for him. We hope he makes it, man. I'm praying that it happens for him because no one deserves it, you know, more than him. He's turned every program around. He took a job here, you know. I think he broke the record here, and I think Rodney came in and knocked him off the pedestal. And he goes to Milwaukee and does great things there on the Tennessee and now at Auburn. So
I'd have to look it up. I don't have it in front of me. I wonder how many coaches have won D2 and D1 national championships.
I don't know.
It can't be a very long list.
Does Izzo want? Izzo is a D2 coach. I don't think he won at this level a national championship, but that's a
Michigan State won a national championship.
Talking about a D2 level.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if he did or not.
I'll have to look that up some other time. Anyway, it's the St. Gerard Radio Show. We're going to talk about the next couple of games, Western Illinois and Lindenwood, Saturday and Thursday games. Anyway, it is the St. Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's. Don't go anywhere.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
Wrap it up shop here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show. You're on WREF 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We've got two games to preview. Lindenwood on Thursday, Western Illinois on Saturday. Now, Lindenwood is one of those teams, Coach, that I feel like went into this season as massive unknowns, and they've built this team very unlike almost any other team in the OVC. They're kind of doing it the old school way in doing it with some freshmen, some key freshmen playing some key minutes for them. So what have you seen from Lindenwood on tape, and what kind of challenge do they present?
Honestly, Brad, today was – we usually start to prep for the opposition on Monday, but we're going to start the prep in the morning. Mm. I had to go back and we played yesterday, and we usually
on a Saturday.
We usually have a recap, and today we recapped our last game, which was yesterday on Sunday, and we had to watch film, and we had to go out and practice and try to fix some of the things that we work on, some of the things we struggle with in preparation for our next opponent, no matter what they run. So it's going to be a quick two-day prep for us, opposed to 2.5 or 3. We'll dig into it tomorrow. I have watched some play other teams that we've played. I think they're a lot better than they were last year. They got some wonderful job of you know, filling some voids with some high school kids, as you alluded to. And they'll pose a challenge. They play faster. They're a little more athletic than what they were a year ago. And they don't shoot it particularly too well. But we got to keep them out of the paint. These guys can really drive the basketball and get to the paint, but they also a good rebounding ball club as well. And they play hard. You know, that was the biggest thing. I was talking to Doug today. Doug and I is his scout, and I always ask a couple things before we even start talking about the team. How do they play? How do they defend certain actions? Do they zone? You know, stuff like that. And the first thing I said, how do they play? Coach, they play hard. They play hard, coach. Well, how do they guard ball screens? Coach, they play hard. And that's what he said. And he's like, the guard play is a whole lot better than a year ago because of how hard the guards play. And he said, if you can't guard, and you watched us in practice today, we were working on defending guards off the bounce because we know this is going to be one of those games. So we did a little bit, but not tapping into the personnel part of it yet. So we're going to tap into that tomorrow.
So that's Lindenwood for Thursday. You can hear it on WREF. And then you also have Western Illinois on Saturday. And there's certainly some X's and O's to break down there. But forget about the basketball element for a second. I want to know what's going to happen before the tip-off happens. Keron Powell, his return to Evansville, his return to Southern Indiana, has since transferred to WIU. What's that going to be like for you guys reuniting?
You know, I've coached against former players before. Do I like it? No, but like we said a little while ago, it's the world we live in. Keron, it didn't work out here, but like I told everybody, we did our part here. He got a college degree from USI, and he's moved on to different things, and I wish him well. And I think there'll be a handshake. There's a mutual respect there. I know we often butted heads when they were here, and that's any competitor. You're always going to not see eye to eye, but, you know, there's a mutual respect there that is never going to go away.
No doubt, no doubt. I will say, though, that it'd probably be pretty loud on Saturday. I'd imagine he has a nice little bossy contingency coming as well. You ready for that?
Hey, we're ready for anything. We just want to win. We just want to win. And I tell you, man, I want the kid to have a great career, whatever he decides to do. You know, he has so much potential and haven't reached it yet. And I think it's in him. He just got to get it out of himself. But great high school coach. He played for a great program. And I will guarantee you, he'll be calling for some tickets, I'm sure, to get some extras. Mm-hmm. And we'll make sure we help him out if he needs some.
Have you had any contact with him since he transferred?
Just when he left. You know, he just let me know he was leaving. We took a graduation picture after he transferred. I got the seniors together. I always get the seniors together on graduation. And I called him up because I wanted him in that picture. You know, he was a senior for us despite transferring, but once he left here, we haven't had any contact. I think he talks to a couple of guys. I know Mervis talks to him a lot, so they're still friends. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're still friends, which is cool. That's a brotherhood that they'll never go away.
I'm looking forward to seeing him myself because I haven't had any contact with him since. And I get to know the guys and traveling with the team too, so that should be fun. Keron Powell and the Leathernecks of Western Illinois coming.
You got to have one show on
Saturday.
On, man.
I was thinking about it. Yeah. What do you think? You think
he'd
come on the show?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. He loves it. He'll do a great job.
I love it. All right. Well, that's what we're going to do then. All right. This has been the Stand Your Ground Radio Show presented by Taroni's here on WREF. A shout out Ed Henson, Gary Joss, Diana Gursky for what they do behind the scenes, and Corey Clayton hitting all the right buttons as well. Thursday, 7:30 tip. You can hear the pregame just after the women's game. Same goes for Saturday. The coverage begins after the women's game. Projected 3:30 start to that one.
Taroni's for me tonight. Even though we didn't have a show,
I like
man,
it.
I think I'm going to grab me one, man.
I like it. Well, how special for
Taroni's? No, my daughter's back, so I got to do a sausage pepperoni extra cheese, man.
All right, that's the order.
I had the house special last week when they were out of town, but I'm going to do the kid pizza tonight.
I like it. And this has been the Stand Your Ground Radio Show, again, presented by Taroni's. Coach has me hungry now. And, well, you can go ahead down to Taroni's on Main Street as well. We'll be back at Taroni's next week for the Stand Your Ground Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening, and good night, everyone.
You have been listening to Stand Your Ground on Basketball on WREF 97.7 FM, ESPN Radio, and online at listtotheref.com. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstate Office City, by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agent, and by